Friends, this morning I'm turning to Paul's letter to the Romans, chapter 8. Romans, chapter 8, and to verse 31. Romans, chapter 8, verse 31. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? If God be for us, who can be against us? Now, a day na ye can afa and same with me now. So, nyame wo ya fan. If God be for us, who can be against us? So, nyame wo ya fan. Fan ebe ti nyaku etiye. That is what we are going to talk about this morning. If God is for us, who can be against us? Friends, is God for you? Is he with you? That is the question we are going to ask this morning. And if it is so, nothing in this world can fight against you. If God be for us, no, nothing can fight against you. So here, from verses 31 to 39, we see that Apostle Paul is focusing on the support and love of God for believers. And he's emphasizing that the opposition can, no opposition can separate us from the love of God. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. I had no Paul as some of the national work campaign and said, so we are going to have many people. Ah, Yahoo, I'm from. We are born again. The being you are here, if it is not true or free, or dry, you're going. Nothing, no opposition can separate you from the love of God. And in the same way, if you are not for God, it's the other way around. Everything can turn against you. You may be prosperous in this world. Everything may be going fine for you. But is God for you, really? Do you know him? And does he know you? That is the question. So here you see that Apostle Paul's, the main theme in this letter is God's power, first, then God's love, and then the futility of any changes of or any charges or condemnation against God's people. That is, if God is with you, no nothing, no charges, nothing can be laid against you, and it will work. And we will explain all these things very, very soon. In summary, what Apostle Paul is saying is about the privileges of a believer. The privileges of a believer. And then what one loses as an unbeliever. What Paul is saying all in these things from verse 1 to the end is about the privileges. If you are a believer, a true believer, what are your privileges? And if you are not, what do you lose? The prophet told Nafu Katherine and he said, "Say we will be a Yahweh of Ophro. I will not go on to my own or on to put to a new one. And for so I was to a man, and Yama Wunya. And it will be our home for a woman and go on. A dear Ophro. And only after my fall, a national candidate. That is why he said, if God is for us, who can be against us? This means that anyone or anything, nothing can stop the love of God for you. And therefore, and we know how God's power is limitless. There's nothing that can defeat God's power. So the question is he for you? Is God for you? This is a very, very, this is one of my profound messages in the Bible. If God be with you, nothing can be against you. If he is not, all things will be against you. Because Christ has died and he has been raised. And he came to live in this world purposely for us. When all was sin and shame, when there was no hope, Christ had to come. Because it had to take the blood of a sinless person to cleanse us from our sins. No human being, no power can do that except the blood of a sinless person. And that's what Christ has done for us, because there's no one living on earth who is sinless. So he had to come as God, as a human being, to be born by a human being, to have blood, so that he can use that blood to cleanse us from our sins. Yes, we have to obey and obey, because salvation obey is not a we have to body into any quantum attitude. Now, Tana, you can point them back on. I just see a shift in Mojabu, Sana Babu, which is a shift in Mojabu about the Fatinibo.
And he could do fear in the movie and Moja. I guess it will be a Oya Bonita. Anyway, that will be a fire Bonita. I just say, we're in a very desperate situation. Nothing could save us. But God is a wonderful God. He had a master plan. He himself could come in this world. Or no, I'm not asking him to say, Nipa. No, I'm not going to say, no. And so, nobody is in the mood. So, we're in the mood. And we're free. Yeah, but the one sign in your contempt me abeva. This is what Christ has come to do for us, and this is what, if you have become a believer, that is the power that is behind you. And from what he's saying, he's talking about overcoming trials and oppositions. Definitely, there will be trials and oppositions in this world. No human being, even when you have become a believer, there will still be trials and opposition because the enemy is still there. Satan is still there. Your own old self is still there. Even when you are saved, you are now saved, but your old self is still there. And the old self is quarreling with the new self. So you need a powerful force to be with you. Otherwise, you will fall again. So you will overcome trials and opposition because of who is in you. And this should give you confidence about all your challenges. Then he talked about from eternity to eternity. And he talked about life beyond this present world that we have now. Not just here. Here he will take care of you. He will save you from all these things. Plus everlasting life in glory. It is not yet here. It is here and there where he will give you everlasting life in his presence. And therefore, that will be a victorious living. That is Paul's point. In this last session of this great chapter in the Bible, as I call this chapter, 8 is a very great chapter in the whole of Bible. Because, like I said, we will still have trials and temptations in this world. But in all of them, we are victorious. But have you asked yourself, why is it like that? Why is Paul saying this? He explains it in his this epistle, the letter, from verses 1 to 13, you see that he is talking about the Holy Spirit dwelling in us. He's talking about the Holy Spirit dwelling in us. When you are saved, when you are born again, God's Spirit comes to dwell in you. But like I said, your old self is still there fighting the new self. So you need a powerful Spirit to help you fight the old self. And you see the indwelling of the Spirit from verse 1 to 13. The Spirit comes to dwell in you, to help you in your battle, to help you in your infirmities, how you pray, how you fight the devil. It's all there. Before explaining. Then when you go from verse 14, where we started from this morning, he's talking about the honored position of God's family. How high you are in God's family. From verses 14 to 17. Then from 18 to 13, he's talking about the glorious future to look for. The future in glory with God himself. And then finally, from where we read from 31, he talked about God being on our side. The American is there. The idea, Apostle Paul, can we now, and he said, from verse 1 to 13, was it from Bruno Abbott now? Obia, why are born again? Obia, do born in a chair. Oh, yeah, Bruno. On Bruno Abbott now. I am here. So I'm a terrible one. Take a better time. I'm a Jew. It is from Bruno Abbott now. If you say, you feel who won him one, let him just say, I'll be your angel. We need to go first now, our hostel, and when you have to draw a camera. It is from who could have a better now, not a wow, I'm a waiting me up because a homeowner have a better now, and no better because I have to say, who here and who gets the other now, not a wow, I'm waiting up for that or pulling now. A honor and a Paul are coming from verse 1 to 13. Now we're from 14 to 17 as well. Or she said, yeah, keep your kid, ever a Rani Emusian position our dear and honor. That is why we call proper honor position. Position as some book. And then how we talk about honorable in this world. When you talk about the honor position in God, you are with God, the Creator himself, the Holy, Holy, Holy One. He is the one that you are with. You are in his family. Then from verse 18 to 30, he talks about the glory in future. Now, last one, from 31 to 39, I want to watch you say, Eradi, Ewa, your side. Eradi, Ewa, 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 I said, "Mr. Obisa, answer me here, yes." You see, it's a form of like a rhetoric question, and the answers are always implied. If you look at how he asked the question, if God be with you, who can be against you? In the first place, he talks of God as our protector. God is our protector. He said, "Who can be against us?" In verse 31 there. What then shall we say to this thing? If God be for us, if God is for us, who can be against us? You see? But here you see that the sentence is worded in a condition. That word is there. It changes the whole thing. The if. That is where it is not everybody who can take this upon himself. That he can be God's protector. That's why I say, is he with you? Have you been born again? It's not just coming to church. It's not just being born by a Christian family. Have you been changed? Have you been converted from your sinful state to a new state? That is why the word is there. If God be for you, if God is with you, that means if you are born again and the Holy Spirit is dwelling in you, then you can apply this to yourself. The other thing I say, Paul, I think I want to share, I said, I'm going to say, Ase obisa no so no. E ase bia obisa ni mu aye no. Eye yes. Oh there. Oh see. Who can be against him? How do we can be a tiao? How do we can be a sorry a tiao? Na. E na mika se sa. If no. E ki mo e mika se se. Se. Ana se na na se. E wadi o apa. How do we can be a sorry a tiao? Abi ni e wadi e ni apa. Di si e mika sorry tiao. That's what Paul is saying. So that is a condition that you must be a born. You can come to church every day throughout your life. And if you are not born again, you can apply this to yourself. This can be against you. So he says, if you are like this, if you have such a friend like him, who can be against you? So if you have God as your friend, you can't be afraid of anything in this world, even though many things fight against us. So, what are the things that fight against us? A dead in your mind, a CIANA, a HAPOR, a SAMHATIN. The first thing is Satan. Satan is against us. He stands to defeat us and destroy us. Satan, of a certain will be our weakening. Or maybe you're saying, you're not going to kill you. Satan can be against you. Satan can accuse you in a way that no matter who you are, because all what you say will be true. I'll come to that later on. So we have Satan who is against us. There were about someone who also know what who is here. Then our own sinful nature. Then our brother, woman, son, even area. Because when you are born again, your old self is still there, fighting against the new self. So you have been fighting against you. Satan, our own sin. And then those who are not believers will also be fighting against us. Unbelievers will be fighting against us. There will be so many things fighting against us. They will be jealous of the peace and the joy that we have, and then will like to destroy us. But in all this, because God is in us, nobody can separate us from the love of God. I like what J.J. Packer is one of the very, very powerful authors. And he said something about this passage. Let me read it to you for all of us. He says, What is being proclaimed here is God's undertaking to uphold and protect us when men and things are threatened. First, then to provide for us as long as our earthly pilgrimage lasts, and to lead us finally into the full enjoyment of Himself. However, many obstacles may seem at present to stand in the way of our getting there. The simple statement, God is for us, is in truth one of the richest and weightiest utterances that the Bible contains. That is from J.J. Packer. J.J. Packer, you will be a what your book did read. I said, my old cancer will know it, and he said, or say, I said, what? Yeah, can you see? Oh, you're not I can't watch it. But for you, you're mobile. Every Enipa, any Enema, a boy, a winner. Now, I'm a year, you're never going to start to a area team. If you're here, we are here in the cancer, you can do well. If you are here, I say, probably you don't know, I remember you. Then you pick up a child. Then you want to look at what you do, but we are back. A reality is always getting well. It has never, never gotten better. That's why the life was going on there. Improvement in technology and all those things is nothing. What about morality? Everything is going down and down and down. It's getting worse and worse. So we live in a world that is falling already. So these things are bound to happen. But then he says that in all these things, God is for us. See? Because God is for us, we're able to fight against all these things. If not, you can never fight Satan. You can never fight your own sin. You can never fight this world. Except God's power is in you. And all of us, sometimes we are afraid of some people, how people will ridicule us. I'm sure if you become a Christian, sometimes when we go on meditation, things that people tell us, as if we are nothing at all. But then you know who you have believed, you know who is behind you. And in all these things, he says, if God is for you, there will be no one can be against you. And very, very soon, if you continue to labor for God, you realize the power of God behind you. Let's see the next thing that Apostle Paul says. And before that, I'll tell you a story. This is a true story about a man called Frederick Nolan. Frederick Nolan, I don't know if any of you can answer for me. He was freed from enemies during the persecution in North Africa. And when they were pursuing him, he was running away and he was so tired. He got to a point that there was nothing he could do. So he entered into a big hole. Then he just left himself open that they would come and kill him. And while he was there, he saw a spider making a web in front of the hole. He was either there, he could see the spider making the web in front of the hole. So when the enemies got there and they saw the spider's web, they assumed that no, the man couldn't be there. Otherwise, they wouldn't see the web there, and they left him. So once he was inside, look at what he said. He said, where God is, a spider's web is like a wall. And where God is not, a wall is like a spider's web. I hope you understand what he's trying to say. But we are getting a fellow, Felix Nolan. Now, that is not all that time, a piece of wall. It's not your connection with everything. That's an old granny. It's an old granny man. And who said, a prophet came in the house, and the question, I said they were bred to come to the room, or the house or on the room. Now, that was not who was there, and I believe every day, and he saw a human. Or really, I'm a little bit, and you go in. It's over a family from two or more. Oh, so the high or high monster, you're a good and big time. It's a year, and I'm from the house. Don't go ahead, no, can't say. But here, we are being a war room. And at this time, we say war. And but here, we are being ending war. And we are at the same time. That's the point that Paul is trying to say here, that if God is for you, nothing can be against you. So this question talk about God being our protector. God protect us from all evil and from every thing that scares us. Then the second question, to show that God is our provider. That is the 32. Will he not give us all things? He who did not spare his own son, but give him up for us, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Verse 32. Or sin and upon a will be our mission or provide you a mind. Or my idea. And I hope it says, now, again, I'm going to give you my mind. For the power of the world, but over my idea. And then, really, it will get more in here. I want to give you my mind. If you are giving up your son to die for our sins, what else? What else would not be God give you? Is anything in this world as valuable as his son, Jesus Christ? Second person of Jesus, equal with the Father, and yet he came to die for us. So if God has done this, what can he also give you? That's all saying in the sentence. He is our provider. And I'm sure that is what Paul, I'm sure Paul had in mind the story of Abraham and how God asked him to sacrifice his son. But in the case of Abraham, God provided a substitute for his son. But in our case, his own son, himself, God himself, gave himself up for us. So there's nothing in the absolute that God can ever do for us. And that is the same argument that Paul used in Romans 5:10. He says, for if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. Verse 5:10. For can't happen to God. For this brand new year account for who is when you are born again, who you are going to come. He's talking about. That is why we hear the health and prosperity gospel. That's not what he's talking about. Remember what Christ said. He said, one's life does not consist of the abundance of the things in the desert. We look at the God that is in the desert. Yes, we are saying, if you are born here and you are born here, you are born here. And then, when you go to Matthew 6:33, or you seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then all these things, that is the worldly things, that be added unto you. So, what Paul is saying here is not about worldly things. Seek God first. Get what you're saying for giving you first. You want to be God first. Be born again first. Be converted. And then the worldly things, we are not to God. God can give you. Because he says, if you gain the whole world and you lose your soul, there's no profit in that. Let's see what Papa said again about this. He said, one day we shall see that nothing, literally nothing, which we have taken our eternal happiness has been denied us. And that nothing, literally nothing, that you have reduced that happiness has been left for us. Why would he not give us all things, everything that we need? then when we come to verse 33 to 34, he's talking about God, our defender. God is our defender. Verse 33 to 34. When you say you have a defender, it's like you going to court and you have a lawyer to defend you. A lawyer comes and defends you. In our case, Christ, who is a judge, is also our defender. So, if God deals with you, what charges? Who can lay charges against you? What charge is against you? Satan can lay all charges. And mind you, Satan charges at you. All what he says about us are true. We are sinners, you and you. No matter our faith, we are always sinning. And Satan will accuse us of our sin. But always know that Christ has died for our sin. So all his accusations can always. If he thought our sin, then God will say, oh, my son has died for them. Therefore, they are sin as men. That is why he says that he is our defender. Christ himself is the judge and is also our defender. So he said, who can bring a charge against God's elect? No one can bring it. Any charge you bring Christ as favor. So you have no charge against us. And you remember what Satan did to Job. The same thing when he went to God, he accused Job of so many things that he has done. And that is what he does for us. But in our case, no matter the charge, God says, yes, we have done this, we have done this, and my son has paid for all those things. So those charges cannot stand against us. And then we go again to talk about who is he that condemns. Remember from the beginning, that there is now no condemnation. There is now no, right from the verse 1, that there is now no condemnation for those who have believed in God. There is no condemnation to matter our sin because of that Christ has come. So nobody can bring a charge against God's elect. Like I said, many, many people and the devil himself will try to say things against us. And they will be legitimate, they will be true. Because we are still sinful. But when somebody even is starting to pray, and we are so, I am so. That is our friend, I am fast. If you say, I am the one, no matter who you are, you have to say, I'm not going to say, but if I was you, where they are, once you are going to be here, where they are going. But I rather say, meaning himself, or my body, and so it's my yes to the fire. And who's going to have a child with me? He's a yes, I'm a homebody now. So no charges can be against us if only we are in God. Christ is the judge of all mankind, and he is our king. He is the only one who has the right to condemn. But rather than condemning us, he is the same person who died for us. You see that the privilege of a Christian. And what you lose for not being a Christian. Because we live in a doomed and sinful world. You by all these things. Sin will come into your mind, even whether you do it or not, it comes, and you know God says sin. You know, whether you commit it or not, once that comes to your mind, you can't go to God. But he has made a way because of Christ. That in all those things, nobody can charge us and say that your son has done this and you can come. Christ has paid for everything, and therefore there is now no condemnation. Nobody can condemn us, even if we sin. That doesn't mean we should sin deliberately. I'm just saying that we know that the judge is our king. He has died for us, and therefore he is our defense attorney, as we say in here. Now, so there's no condemnation for those who have come to be in Christ, even if whatever they have done, they are not condemned. God can punish you, obviously, and it's not even a punishment. When God brings affliction, it's to correct you, because he will never leave you to go, but he will find a way of going to himself. And it helps you. Even what the affliction helps us to come back to God, as we all know. So now, no condemnation. Then from verse 35 to 39, He said, God is our keeper. God keeps us. He said, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Who can separate us from the love of Christ? And he lists so many things that it's likely can be used to separate us, but he said that he can't. First, he talked about tribulation. It means pressure. Tribulation is pressure, going through one problem after the other. We all know what it is to go through tribulation. And he said, that can never separate us from the love of God. Ahanu Paul, S.I.H.H. Enema, Entimi, M.I.N.T. Mufri, Unyakupon, Edun. Ena, Okat, Ahutrana, Ahutia, Dia, Edahomu, Bia, Ibiake, Ahutia, Ubiameko, Ahutia. Then we will be away to the Nukahutima, Hotel Mona, Wow, Emerald, Unyakupon, Ahutia, Nukwama, and maybe I will ya, Unyakupon, MP. It is known, Entimi, and condemned. And the next thing is distress. Distress is also almost like affliction. You go through pressure in this world. But he's saying that these things can never separate you from the love of God. The next word is persecution. Persecution. We all know the story of Christians who have been persecuted. And even now, we still go through persecution, but in different forms. Unlike before, even now, you can see what the Muslims are doing to Christians. Some, they cut off their throats. So many things. There will be persecution. And the early church suffered so much. But then, in all of them, they couldn't take them from the love of God. Then he also talked about famine. Famine is like hunger. First, or say, I will hear here. Ebetumi atwe efu nyankopon edo no ho ana na meka se dai. Ohu ba chi o se dia kra na wo ye kiso ni a. Ahotye na wo famu mu. E kwa ye ruade pa so dia twu. Abale. Enti no ene kwa bua wo e ma wo nyini wo onyakopon. E je din twu mfi onyakopon. E na o sain so e ka se ekom. Ekom betumi atwe efu ruade ho ana. Obi enyi wi ati ma o ne ho amenya kopon ma. Sam 37 no se oya kora and or anything who be our senior for you, I'm a comma denominator. So that thing can never take you from the love of God. And then he talked about peril. Peril is also this. It seems like any maybe a woman, a buyer, bravo, a bit natural, everybody, a domoana, or see, daddy. Nakedness. So I bought it, say, we not have been push up. Does it take you from the love of God? No, it shouldn't. Then he talked about soul. And then danger. And the sword, he's talking about sometimes some violent death. Oh, how about you say, Yakukumu will be back, and I will be according to say, Utia, I am here. But does that take you from the love of God? No. Nothing. He says that there's nothing at all that can take you from the love of God. Sometimes when these things happen, because we don't understand, we ask questions. I hear people say, why me? Why me? Why me? That question I can't understand. Why not you? But who? Who are you more human than somebody else? But once God has allowed it to happen, if you are a true Christian, you should know that it is for your good. Romans 8, verse 28, as we read, say all things, whether good or bad, they are for our good. Even if you see it as something negative, it is from our good. So some that you ask, why should God allow all these things to happen? Does it mean that God does not love you anymore? No. He loves you. Because he knows that those things will rather strengthen you than destroy you. Then he said that, verse 37, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Or see, when you actually know, before, and now, yeah. We are more than conquerors. Conquerors, and through whom? Through he who loved us, through Christ. We are conquerors. We conquer everything. Even the Greeks say we conquer, he said we are more than conquerors. Here, like he's saying that we are like super conquerors. Why is he saying that? Because those things that the devil wants to use to disturb you. Those are the same things that come to build you up. So instead of them coming to disturb you, they have come to help you to live a righteous life. If everything is going on fine for you, even if nothing happens to you, you die in your sins. But God talks you in the way through some of these afflictions. And when God does that, He does that, it is to draw you to Himself. My son, you are going wrong. That's how God calls. God will never shout to anybody to come. He does it through this thing, through suffering, affliction. Because even let's take our own self. Sometimes when everything is going fine for you, even your prayer becomes less. But let a problem comes, you can't even sleep. So God brings those things to you. That's why He said that we are more than conquerors. Things that will come and conquer us have become our help to conquer this world and sin. So the trials that we go through to help us to live with God. Then from 38 to 39, it says, "For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus." You see, Paul covers everything now. He doesn't leave anything that we are likely to go through in this world. He covers all of them. He's talking about death or life, angels, principalities, talking about demons, no powers, the worldly powers, things present here, things yet to come. None of them can separate us from the love of God. And friends, if you are not giving your life to Christ, you see what you are missing. What should be behind you? And if you are, God is not with you, all these things can be against you. You will live in this world a miserable life and die in your sins and go to hell. And hell is a reality. Don't let anybody deceive you. The next time we have the opportunity, we'll talk about hell. And we'll see how many times Christ mentioned hell in the scriptures. So it's a rare place that people will go to. You can suffer in this world and still suffer eternally if you don't give your life to Christ. In the same way, you can enjoy life in this world and still go on to continue in your glory with where Christ is. Is God for you? This is the question. Is He for you? Have you given your life to Him? Sincerely from your heart. Not just coming to church on Sundays. Do you really, really put your trust in God in everything that you do? That He is your keeper, is your provider, is your defender, is your attorney. Is He to you in that way? Ask yourself this question every morning when you wake up and make sure that He is with you. If not, my friend, you have to go on. It's a principality, authorities, powers in heaven or powers on earth. Nothing of them can stand against you. It's talking about height or death. Remember, in those days, they look at the stars, the movement of the stars and the moon, and it means something to them. Our time, we don't do that, but we have so many things that we look up to in this creation. And you say that none of them can be against you. Christians, God likes you. If God is on your side, nothing can touch your life. He will protect you, He will provide for you, He will defend you in every situation until finally He shares His glory with you in heaven. So my question to you this morning is that, is God for you? Is He on your side? This is a question nobody can answer for you. It's only you. You know your heart. Have you sincerely given your life to God that He should provide all these things for you? I will end with the story of our Horatio Spafford. You know the one who wrote in 529, "When peace like a river." The man who wrote that thing. This man, he said he loved his son at an early age. This man, but he never doubted God's love for him. Because he still had his wife and four fine daughters and a comfortable income. He was a very wealthy person. He said his wealth was heavily invested in his Chicago real estate. And then there was a disaster in Chicago. there was a fire outbreak and destroyed most of his buildings and his property. They were all wiped out. But still, he never stopped believing in God. Then you're looking for an opportunity to go somewhere and rest for a while from all what he was going through. So he booked a passage for his family and he himself on a ship to England, where he planned to assist. You know, D.L. Moody was also another powerful evangelist. He wanted to go and be with him and then spread the, in all what he was going through, even when he was going to rest, he was going to be with Moody so that they can spread the gospel in that place. Then last minute business matters took him behind. Something happened in his business that he couldn't go with them in the ship. But his wife joined them and the daughters. And when they were going, their ship was struck by another and then sank within 12 minutes. Then he received a telegram from his wife. And the telegram said, "Saved alone. Saved alone." His four daughters were gone, leaving only the wife. You see what the man has been through? And when he said he was even going to rest and support another evangelist, what has happened to his family in the way? Then the wife sent his ministry alone. Then his four daughters were gone. So he left immediately to join his grieving wife in England and comfort her. When he reached the place where the ship had sunk, he began to write down his feelings. And that is what we have in 5:29. When peace like a river. That's this man. He went through all these things, and yet it could not separate him from the love of God. What are you going through in this world? What is your fear? In this, we live in a world of fear, because we live in a world of uncertainty. Things happen that we are not even privy to. And yet, but what is your fear if God is with you? And my question to you this morning that is, God with you? Have you been born again? No matter how old you are or how young you are, have you given your life to Christ? That you are born again, then you can say these things to yourself. Nothing can stand against you because God is with you. And on the other side, if you have been given your life to Christ, everything can work against you and you will never be happy in this world and you will still spend the entire life in hell.